Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Judy Jari Jones Show. I'm so happy everyone's here. We're going to have a great Friday the 13th. We couldn't have a better guest. She actually helps rid houses of ghosts. She finds them and helps them go on their way. We have the famed Mary Ann Winkowski, whose life TV show Ghost Whisperers is based on. Mary Ann is an amazing person who has written a book that I want everyone to go out there and get as quickly as they can. And we actually have it on, you can click on it right now if you look on our site, and you can buy it through Amazon.com. She actually is one of the consultants, along with James Ron Prague, for the show Ghost Whisperer. And let me go ahead and bring her up right now. Also, I want to tell you, we have a great co-host. His name is Mike Birch. He owns a publishing company. Yep, you heard that right, publishing company. He's a great person, and the publishing company is hypertext.com, or at least that's his website. He may tell you differently about who his publishing company is, but also let me give credit to Ricky Lee Jones, the two-time Grammy-winning singer-songwriter. The song you heard, Danny's All-Star Joint, when the show was waiting to come on the air, is one of Ricky's original songs, and Ricky was our guest a couple of nights ago. She is absolutely the most original person I've ever known. She's just started on her world tour, and you can find her through RickyLeeJones.com, RickyLeeJones.com. So with all of that, let's go ahead. And by the way, we do have the live chat session going, so feel free to write any questions you might have for Mary Ann. Let me give you our call-in number. It's 347-326-9915. Hello, Mary Ann.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. My. Are we ever lucky to have someone like you to get rid of the ghosts on Friday the 13th? They're everywhere, huh, Mary Ann?
Well, yeah, there are, but most of them are good ones.
There's not
too many bad ones out there.
That's important. Gosh, you know, it's hard to know the good ones from the bad ones.
Right.
Yeah, that's your job, right?
Yes, it is. It is. Ones that cause problems are the ones that have not crossed over. The ones that have crossed over and gone into the light, those do not cause you any problems.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that you want around. You want your angels, your saints, your Grandma Rose. You want these people to visit you. The ones that make the choice not to go into the bright white light when they die, those are the ones that cause problems in people's houses.
Well, Marianne, if they're there and they're causing problems, what can we do? Do we ask you, you know, do we call you and hire you to come into our house and get rid of them? What do we do?
Well, that was the big option, you know, of doing that. And over the years, there's one of me that does this and can do it the way I do it. And that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book, so that people can get ideas in there how and what to do. I guess you need to know what the difference is, basically, too, between an earthbound. Have you ever heard of anybody that has had a near-death experience? They've seen the bright white light, but they haven't died?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Right. Well, when you actually take your last breath for real, there truly is a bright white light around you. And that light will stay with you for about 72 to 80 hours after the cemetery.
Okay.
Everybody attends their funeral. They know they're dead. How do you not stand at the foot of the casket and see yourself laying there and not know you're dead? So that's, we like to, you know, break up a couple of these myths that people seem to have. And And they like their funerals. They like to see what their hair looks like and what they have on and who's visiting. And the ladies will walk over and look at the flowers. And,
oh.
And the guys, it's some kind of guy thing. I'm not sure why, but they like to count how many cars in the funeral procession to the cemetery. The more, the better. And then the little prayer service that said at the cemetery, most people will cross into that bright white light at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm actually Catholic, and that's heaven to me, but, you know, everybody has their own perception of what that is.
For sure.
Crossing over the other side, out of here, over there, you know, whatever. But nobody's pulling you. Nobody's pushing you.
Oh.
If you don't want to go to that light, you don't have to go. That's called free will. And even after you're dead, you have free will. And it's your choice. Now, that light will stay with you for about 72 to 80 hours. And let's face it, that gives you enough time to be nosy, go scooting through people's houses. Nobody's going to know you're there.
Right.
That light's going to start getting smaller and smaller. And if you don't go into that light, now you are stuck. When you're stuck, you don't eat or sleep, but you need human energy to keep going. That's why the earthbound spirits cause problems in people's houses.
Amazing. It just sounds so absolutely right. They are stuck. They won't go on. They didn't choose to go on. And they need us
to get them there.
Okay.
Now, there are ways they can get there by themselves. They don't realize it, though. And I think I talk enough about it with lectures and schooling and everything that I do. But you and none of your audience should ever be stuck because I'm going to tell you how to cross over.
Okay.
If you die and you decide to stick around and give somebody grief, which I would not recommend.
That's right.
Right. All you have to do is go to a funeral home that has a service going on. And that person that's standing at the foot of their casket with their bright white light around them, that's not an individual light. That's a universal light.
Okay.
All you have to do is go bebopping into that light, and you'll be right where you need to be.
Just get in that universal light.
Right. Just walk right into it, and you'll be fine. But people don't realize that they can even do that.
It's almost like we need to go to school to be able to die and know where to go and how to go. And
right, right. And if somebody doesn't tell you, it just, you know, you wander. And a lot of people, like, I go to nursing homes, and, you know, women just live longer than men. And I know we kill them. But the bottom line is the amount of old men spirits waiting in nursing homes for their wives is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
They're just going to cross over with their wives when they die.
Huh.
And so it's, you know, and people can see different kinds of spirits. I cannot see ones that crossed over. I can only see earthbound spirits.
Oh.
But James von Prague, he can only see spirits that have crossed over.
Yep. That's amazing.
There's
that is his specialty. But yours are the ones that are here.
Correct.
Causing us problems at times, yes. Perhaps, in our homes and with our lives. Is that right, Marianne?
Yes. Some of the symptoms, if you've got earthbound spirits in your house, are this. Like I said before, they don't eat or sleep, but they need human energy to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are tired constantly, even after you've slept for 8 hours,
okay.
If you... adults all end up with maybe lower intestinal problems or bad headaches or sinus problems.
Okay.
You have all kinds of energy when you are not in the house. The minute you get in the house, you hit the couch and you're like a couch potato. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing nothing. If you have kids under the age of 10 or 12, the kids are going to have a lot of ear, nose, throat, and upper respiratory problems. They're going to be in bed with you every night at 2 o'clock in the morning because they're afraid of their room. Listen to your children. They can see things like this. They can see ones that crossed over and ones that haven't. If they're afraid of their room, they are afraid for a good reason. Things go missing. You walk through the door, you throw your keys on the counter, you decide to throw a load of clothes in the washer, you answer the phone,
mm-hmm.
you go to the counter, the keys aren't there. Oh, there they are, over on the kitchen table. You know, once or twice, it's okay. Then you start thinking about it. What am I cracking up? You can't find the checkbook. We all have a junk drawer. I have two, all right? You look for something in that junk drawer. You go three other places in the house. You open that drawer back up. Oh, my God, there it is, right on the top of the drawer. If they're standing close to the computer, now they don't use electric, but they disrupt it. If you're on your computer and they stand close to you, the computer, maybe it goes down or it won't come up or the fax machine won't work or the printer won't work. Mm-hmm. Standing close to your TV, the TV goes goofy or staticky. And what's the first thing out of our mouths? Oh, that darn cable. Why would we ever say there's a stupid ghost standing next to it? We don't talk like that. The same thing with cell phones. If they ride with you in the car, you can have electrical problems with your car. So they really do affect our lives. And some people just live their whole lives just don't even thinking about it. It's like, oh, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck. And do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
Not true. You can change it. You can change it. My advice to people that think they have a ghost in the house, if you're a flea market person, a tag sale person, you buy antiques, I'm going to warn you, you don't really want to buy diamonds from an estate sale. I will almost guarantee you you'll bring home a ghost with you.
Diamonds. Don't buy diamonds.
Diamonds,
oh my God,
from an estate sale. Women love their diamonds, whether they're alive or dead. That could be a reason why they didn't cross over.
They're holding on to the diamonds.
Yeah,
they still
love their diamonds, you bet.
Amazing. They've got those diamonds in their... And so they won't go on.
No, who's going to get the diamonds? They got to watch their jewelry. Oh. Vintage and antique cars. I did a man that restored antique cars, and he had one car in there. I think it was some kind of a Lamborghini, old one.
Uh-huh.
He had like six previous owners attached to it. Six that hadn't crossed over, men.
They're still holding on to a car.
Their car. People get attached to the physical plane. Now, there are people that are murdered. They're not going to cross over till they tell somebody who killed them. You get people that have committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they're standing there at the foot of their casket thinking, oh, my gosh, if I go in that light, am I going to be judged now? Am I going to hell? Why would they ever go?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
I was saying.
A bad person or a person that created heinous crimes. You know, I actually just went to a funeral within the past year of a man that had been put to death in the electric chair.
Oh,
and his family wanted me at the funeral. I go to a lot of funerals. I was to three funerals today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God.
Well, if you could talk to a loved one for the last time, think about it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more than where's the key to the safety deposit box.
Yeah.
You know, there's questions people want to know. And the last one was a 53-year-old man that went to bed, woke up, and never woke up. He had a heart attack. The wife didn't know if she should sell the house, if she should move in with her daughter. You know, she had all kinds of questions for him this afternoon.
Huh.
So anyway, but these are the things that I tell people to do if they think they have a ghost in their house. It never hurts to have the house blessed by an ordained priest or minister. Not somebody that got their reverendship in the back of a magazine. I'm talking about a true ordained priest or minister. Do not get your hands on holy water and start throwing holy water around, though, because that'll really tick them off.
Tick them off.
Tick them off, big time. It's one thing if an ordained priest or minister does it. It's another thing for a layperson to just walk in and start throwing holy water around.
Oh, my gosh.
The other thing that you can do is get what is called a smudge stick.
Okay.
That is usually made out of sage or sweet grass. That's actually what Native American Indians use to get rid of, unwanted spirits or negative energy.
All right.
And follow the instructions on it, and doing one and or both of those things will definitely make who's ever in your house lethargic. It may not get rid of them, but the house will feel better. You will feel better. You may have to smudge every 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The house will feel better.
Amazing. So they are spirits, the ghosts, that have not let go of their diamonds or whatever it is mm-hmm. that they feel. And they're earthbound. They're totally stuck here, right, Mary? Do they ever go on?
Well, if I go into somebody's house, I talk to them and find out who they are and why they've been here and all of that information. I give it to the homeowner. I can create the bright white light, and I can let them walk into it.
Wow.
They, like I said, they can go to a funeral home. They can wait and cross over with somebody that dies.
Sure.
But most of them that I run across, they've been, let's see, one of the last houses last week had three of them in her house. One was a 17-year-old boy that was actually making her 17-year-old daughter a little crazy. There was an older woman about... she was an older woman, but she died in the 50s. Very,
mm-hmm.
very, very prim and proper. I almost expected to see her wearing white gloves. That's how prim and proper she was. And then there was a girl that died about 5 years ago. She was 35 years old and actually followed her husband home from work.
She followed him home.
Yes, yeah, she did. And how easy is it when nobody can see you?
Well, there I mean, you feel, surely he felt something, some kind of presence.
You know, I think men are so logical.
Oh.
You know, if the wife says to the husband, did you hear that noise? Oh, yeah, the house is settling. Oh,
yeah.
The branches hit the outside of the house. Oh, that's the furnace kicking on. Oh,
yeah.
That was the ice cube maker. Men have all kinds of excuses for things.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Well, Marianne, I'm going to bring up Mike Birch, the publisher. He has his publishing company. Let me go ahead and get him on board. Hello, Mike. Hello.
Hello. This is actually Stacey D.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stacey. Just a minute. Let me see if Mike's on the other. I'll be right back with you, okay?
No problem.
Hi. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Joy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Welcome.
I've been sitting here, I'm listening to you guys for a while, so I just, I've been enjoying the conversation so far.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're on board with us. Marianne, Mike is a publisher, and he's very interested in things like ghosts and all the things that most people are, but are really, I think a lot of us are, we know they're in our house. We're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid, but maybe I should be.
You really don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not be going into people's houses if I thought they could shoot or strangle me or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, no, they can't kill you. They can scare you half to death and make your life a little miserable, but they can't kill you.
Yeah. Well, I did hear a comment that you made about the Hollywood angle on the first half hour of the show, The Ghost Whisperer, that a lot of the scary stuff was not actually factual, and that the second half hour was more factual. So.
Yeah, if a quarter of that stuff happened to me that happened to Jennifer Love Hewitt, I'd have a heart attack. It just doesn't work like that. That's the Hollywood part. I mean, and the first season, I mean, I would get a script and I'd see what they're going to do and I'd scribble and I'd call the producers and the director was like, are you crazy? You can't do that. And it's like, yeah. And then I watch it on Friday night and they do it anyway. So, you know, and then they made it clear to me, Marianne, this is entertainment. We're not doing a documentary every week. This is what the people like.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, but people where I live know that this is not true. You know, I live in Ohio. I've worked in Ohio for over 50 years now. They know this is not the way it is. And I was politely told that, well, Ohio people are the only people that don't know how it is. So, you know, that's the way it goes.
Well, I do have a couple of particular questions,
sure.
if I can ask them.
Of course.
The first one is my wife is an avid watcher of the show. In fact, she said she's never missed a show.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, and she wanted to know, and I don't know, you know, if you can do these sort of things, but she just wanted to know if you could tell us or sense anything about anyone in her family, you know, and you know that might be hovering around or.
Okay. You know. Now, all right. This is my path answer to that question.
Uh-huh.
First of all, if you dream of anybody that has died, that means that they have crossed over. Earthbound spirits cannot get in dreams.
No.
So anybody that you have dreamt about, mom's, dad, grandma, grandpa's, whoever, if they are in your dream, they are where they are supposed to. And no, I can't talk to those. You need James Von Prague for that.
Okay.
Now, if you're calling me from your house.
I am.
And you're asking me if you have a ghost in your house or not.
Uh-huh.
I could tell you yes or no, but I couldn't tell you who it is.
Okay.
I could just tell you that they're standing in the dining room by your hutch where the pink vase is, and it's a woman. I could tell you that.
The hutch with the pink what?
There's like a pink vase or candy bowl in there.
I'd have to go look and see. I'm not very much on kitchen details.
Right, and you do have a dining room.
Yes, we have a dining room.
Yeah, and there's a hutch in there.
I don't know. There could be. I'm very bad about not.
Well, it's a piece of furniture that has china and crystal in it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, there's a pink piece in there, and I don't know where that came from, but the woman ghost that's in your house is very attracted to that piece of pottery or whatever.
All right. You think we got rid of it, she'd go away?
No, it'll probably make her angry because you throw it out.
Okay. Better listen, Mike.
No, try to smudge her having the house blessed. That really does work. No. She looks like she's about 60 years old, and she looks like she probably died from her clothes. She probably died in the mid-50s.
Mm.
See, I can't talk to him over the phone. If I was there, I could, you know, see her just like I would see you. That's the way I see him. But
get her over there, Mike. You'd have to hire her to come on.
I might have to do that, although the ghosts have not been bothering me, so I'll...
But it's your wife.
Well, then, you know, I'll have to ask her, but...
the smudge stick in that. That works.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little Cherokee blood in me, so maybe I can do a war dance.
Well, there you go. Then you know exactly what a smudge stick is.
Yeah.
Do you still know any medicine men or shamans?
No, I really don't. We have some Cherokee blood, but we're not connected to that side of the family.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. Now, my other question, this is an experience that a friend of mine had, and it's really, really troubled him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was investigating the paranormal at one time,
mm-hmm.
and I believe he was in Mexico, and there was a place where Indians had been killed by Christians that were torturing them and killing them if they wouldn't convert to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people had died under pretty, you know, horrific mm-hmm. conditions. And he went down into a tomb,
mm-hmm.
and something happened to the effect that he looked at one of these, I don't know if they were corpses or mummies or just whatever, but he had this feeling, what if this pain, you know, continues after death and these people are, you know, are trapped down here? And he asked this question, you know, has anybody ever, you know, endured this pain after death? And he heard a voice say, a great deal have, and it just terrified him, and I could tell that it still bothers him all these years later.
Okay.
And my question is, As a poet and a publisher and an editor, is good English would be a great many have. So this sounds like a, you know, maybe a superstitious person of another era who might have different beliefs than we have today. But I don't know anybody who's had a near-death experience or anybody that I've ever read that said that once they left their body that they continued to have bodily pain.
No, and you are right. That is not, it is the physical body that feels pain or has parts or pieces missing.
Yeah.
When I see a spirit, even if they lost a limb in an accident, they are still whole.
Yeah, and that's
never
what I would,
seen them. Yeah, I've never seen them bloody, gory, nothing like that.
Right.
No.
And there's a book by a guy named Dan Piper who was dead for 90 minutes in a really horrific crash, and he said the same thing. He said he actually entered heaven, and he was dead so long that he was actually talking to friends and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that even people that had imperfections in life, they were somehow perfected when he saw them.
That's right.
And so I just wanted to be able to tell my friend, here's somebody, you know, who has some experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like this voice might have, this entity might have caught his fear or, you know, been malicious somehow and has really put a scare into him.
Now, I did an Indian reservation in New Mexico, And I was absolutely astounded because they were still fighting up there.
Is that right?
There were still ghost horses up there in in this on this reservation. I was an Indian on his stomach with a knife in his teeth, you know, crawling, trying to attack somebody. It was like they were reenacting everything. But nobody was, I mean, the spirits were whole.
Yeah.
Nobody was actually killing anybody.
Right.
I think it's a lot like when people see, when they go to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
The energy from these people are there, and that's their choice to be there.
Yeah. Of course, the Vikings had that belief that their Valhalla was a place where you fought all day, and then you dusted yourself off, and you went back, and you drank mead at night.
Exactly.
And so I wonder if it could be your beliefs also. That,
I think it can, especially because I believe it's the country India. They have a belief that the spirit can jump in and out of a portal, so to speak, and travel through tunnels that way into a life that would be more suitable for them or something that they would like to try for a while.
Yeah.
So I think,
Carrie-Anne, your book, would that help with some of these questions that Mike has and other people when ghosts whisper?
No.
Or when ghosts speak.
Right.
Through, I'm sorry, when ghosts speak.
Mm-hmm.
Available through Amazon.com. Would that help answer some of these questions?
And that's exactly what it is. When Time Warner bought the book from me,
uh-huh.
The editor sat there with me, as I'm sure Mike has done with, you know, potential clients, and said, this is my idea for this book. This is what I want. I want explanations. I want answers. I want solutions. I want somebody to be able to pick up this book and go to any chapter that they need, because it, you don't have to start in the beginning. You can start in the middle of the book if you want. Find their answer, put it on a shelf. If they need a question, if they have a question in 2 months or 2 years, they can go back and get the answer.
Yeah.
And that's it. So it is. It's a help book for, you know, it's Ghost 101.
Ghost 101. That's great, because we all have a ghost. I think we have them. We're just not able to really accept the fact they're with us. But You know, one day you put your keys down, they're gone, and it's almost like they just appear. It's like a little joke, you know, to remind you that we're here, we're not going to let you go, or whatever. And
the trouble is, movies, TV, they have done such a disservice, including Ghost Whisperer. And like I said, it's Hollywoodized. You know, I have never, ever, ever, ever found a house built on an Indian burial ground. Never. You know, it's the Amityville House or something in Connecticut that there was the big movie about.
Right.
Every time somebody finds big flies in their attic, they think they have a ghost because of that show. And it's like, hey, I'm not an exterminator. I don't do flies. You know, this has nothing to do with ghosts.
Yeah.
I ran into the producer, one of the producers of that show in Los Angeles. And he says, well, I was one of the producers of the Amityville House. And I went, oh, do you know how much grief you've given me over the years? I says, why did you stick flies in the attic? He said, we had 20 seconds to fill. I says, well, thank you so much.
Hey, Mary, speaking of grief, I do have another question that I think could be very hopeful for mothers who've lost children.
Yes.
And one thing, I'm a pretty big scholar of the Bible, and I understand that you're Catholic, is that right?
I am. Actually, before I came on, today was my exodus.
Yeah.
I was in there tonight, as a matter of fact. So.
Well, let me tell you my theory,
and
I think I've heard you say something that may bring some comfort to people about very young children who die that can't believe in Jesus, and, you know, they for some reason they weren't baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Church, after many hundreds of years, came up with this doctrine of limbo, which
correct.
Is correct. Jesus never spoke about infant baptism. Paul never spoke about it. None of the early Christians believed in it. It was a later doctrine that was pretty much invented by St. Augustine.
Right, which has been thrown out, by the way.
I know that they've been talking about...
No, it's gone. We don't have limbo anymore.
Oh, good.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of... a lot of mothers would be glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I believe I read somewhere you saying that you'd never seen a child under the age of three, that you thought that a guardian angel or a family member would come and get any child that young right away, and that they wouldn't be suffering or left wandering around, you know, disembodied on Earth.
And you will see them. And the few, I mean, if I've run across 3 3-year-olds in all the years I've been doing this, that's, maybe it's only two, but these children talked so well. And that was one of the reasons I think that they stayed. The age that I normally see children stay around is usually 5. They start about then. But think back, if you've got kids, didn't they just know everything when they started kindergarten? You know, they start showing their independence and that kind of thing. But no, grandmas, they aren't even at the funeral. I mean, grandmas, guardian. And I believe that's a constant. You know, I think we're assigned a guardian angel from the second we're born, and it's with us till the second we die. So that's a constant. Even if nobody has died, a relative that could come and get the baby, the guardian angel, that's their job.
Yeah.
Well, Marianne, I have a quick question. How did you get connected with the television show? Did they come after you and ask you about your life?
Sort of. James had his own television program at the time, Daily Show. And so he invited me to come down to Oklahoma City with him and do a house down there. And while I was down there, he knew from, I don't know, you know, James has people, and they found me somehow. I don't know.
Amazing. Yeah, right. It's almost like you were just, you know, your spirit was out there, and they picked you to do this.
And then after I did his show, you know, he said, well, how can you see him, and how do you hear him, and how do you do this? I don't know. I just do it.
You just do.
And I'm not a psychic. I'm not a medium. You know, what I do is very narrow. But he started thinking about it. He had already had his show on TV with Ted Danson playing him. So he had some, you know, it's almost like you need to know somebody. And he had connections. And one thing led to another, and I met John Gray, and and he said, well, I've never done a series, but I'd sure like to do one. He said, and CBS said, do the pilot, and the next thing I knew, we were picked up. Like, it was just that fast.
It was just that fast. Because I really wonder if we're going to have a way to connect to people on the other side, souls, just like we talk on the telephone. Do you see something like that coming, Marianne, where literally we're going to be able to call Aunt Martha or our Grandma Joan, whatever? But, you know, perhaps we're not ready.
You know what? That's a leap. That's a leap. You know, 15 years ago, if you went to a party and you said to the woman next to you, gee, I think I have a ghost in my house. She'd look at you and think, oh, boy, this woman's ready for the cookie factory, okay? Now you go to a party and you say to the woman next to you, you know, I think I have a ghost in my house. She'll go, why? And you tell her, and doggone it, she's got 3 better stories than you. You know, it's acceptable now to talk about it, but I think we have a long way to go. And people don't realize when they dream of somebody that has died, you can actually talk to them in your dream. You just don't have to lay there and have the dream. Say you want to talk to your grandmother and that you've dreamt of her before, and she always looks pretty, and she's either cooking or tending to her roses, or she's smiling all the time. Tonight before you go to bed, say to yourself, if I dream of Grandma tonight, I'm going to talk to her. If I dream of Grandma tonight, I'm going to talk to her. Just keep saying that over and over again. The next time you actually dream of your grandmother, you will be able to have a conversation with her just like we're having right now.
Yeah.
People don't realize that.
Oh.
And there's a difference between having someone come in your dream and having a dream of someone.
Huh. And what is that? You're dreaming of somebody, your grandmother, but your grandmother comes into your dream.
You know what? If you got up in the middle of the night tonight to go to the bathroom, and Grandma was sitting on the foot of your bed, you would freak out. I mean, that's not acceptable. People don't want to see their dead people sitting on the foot of their bed.
That's right.
But you have a dream of grandma tonight, you're going to get up in the morning, and you're going to call your mom or your sister, and you're going to go, oh, I had the best dream of grandma last night. She looked so good. She was smiling. I could see grandpa in the background. Dreams are acceptable. That's why they find that that's the easiest way to communicate with us. If you're not a medium and you can't just summon up people from the other side, then you have to do it in dreams, and that's just the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. There's another possibility, too, if I can ask another question, which is Joy and I have a friend who had an experience in Spain, and she was approached by a being that she calls either the Holy Spirit or an angel, and she said this was a being of unconditional love at a tremendous vibratory level, or you know, something that made it very difficult for her to be close to, and she was approached, and this being offered to manifest, and she couldn't do it, you know, no, please go away. So maybe we're not ready in that respect.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And see, and I think that's it. I think everything will come in time, and I think we're so new at this.
Right.
Edgar Cayce was ahead of his time as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it's just been a slow, slow process. But it's coming into itself now. Look at all the shows on TV about the subject matter. And I think there's 8 new ones on the subject matter coming up in the fall.
8 new
ones. Yes. So the knowledge is there. These shows wouldn't be having such high ratings if people weren't tuning in and trying to get answers. And, you know, and I'm sure you realize that the world is so crazy now. People are looking for answers anywhere.
They are. They're looking anywhere. And that's why it's very important to me to that someone like you that actually I feel has valid answers. You know, I can't prove them, Marianne, but I feel that your knowledge of ghosts and people, souls that haven't passed on, it's right on. And because of that, you know, a lot of people are a little skeptical. They want to see it in black and white. But my gosh, you know, they're doing the TV series based on yours and James von Prague's life. And I would say maybe you need to just accept what is before us.
Well, you know, I believe in God, and I see what God has done around me, but just because I haven't seen him doesn't mean that I don't believe in him. It's called faith.
Faith.
You know, I have faith. And I think people, you know, I don't see air, but I know I'm breathing it.
Yeah.
Every now and then, if it's foggy out, I can see it. Or, if, you know, it's smoggy out, you can see it. But as a rule, you don't see air. So, you know, I've learned a long time ago, it's not my job to try to convince somebody of this. I don't really care. You know, I know what I can see and I can do. It's funny, this last funeral I went to today, I said he was 53, he had a daughter, a beautiful daughter, like 24 years old. She just got engaged, and he was very, very skeptical, her fiancé. So he said, I want you to go over there. He says, I want you to ask him to burn the light bulb out over there. And I just looked at him, and I said, no, he's not going to do that. And he says, well, I want to know what happened. And he set a date like 2 weeks ago, you know, what we talked about something. And I said, and I just sort of looked at him and I said, and do you want me to talk about it here in front of everybody? I said, do you want me to take you to the side and tell you what he told you?
Oh, yeah, really?
And he sort of looked at me and I started laughing. I says, he's a jokester, I says, but he's thinking that maybe now that he doesn't have a body that he can do things like Superman. He said, so you better be good to her. And he didn't ask another question after.
Was it?
So have you heard Marianne's story about Jennifer Love Hewitt and her ghost?
Mm-mm.
I think that's a good one. If you don't mind telling that one,
Marianne. No, not at all. The first time I went out to California to meet with the writers and everything for the first show, and Jennifer had a ghost in her house, and so. She had two, actually, and So James picked me up at the hotel, and he drove me over to her house, and we're sitting there. And the one woman that was, the one was a woman in the house, and she was a relative of Lon Chaney. That used to be Lon Chaney's house.
Oh, wow.
And so that was a relative of ex-wife or something, I don't remember. And Jennifer, she's just the sweetest little thing. I kid you not. And she said, and this woman had said she was a singer. And Jennifer says, I sing all the time. She says, I've got records. Does she like my singing? And I just hate when people ask direct questions like that, because I just, I get caught so easy lying. I'm just not a very good liar. And I went, oh, she goes, oh, she doesn't. And I says, well, it's just not her type of music. She's like, I didn't know what to say. But there was a young man in the house about 30 years old, and he had died in an accident, and apparently he just loved Jennifer Love Hewitt. He just loved her. And so, and how easy was it for him to follow her home now? He's invisible. And so he was like a ghost stalker. And so she's going, ooh. So she, you know, what's his name? And I told her. And she says, where did he die? And I told her. And he said, well, we even went to the same school. He was ahead of her in school, but they had, you know. And she said, really? And so she just sort of filed it. So she excused herself. And while she was gone, I says to James, I says, I says, this guy is like a pervert. Should I tell her? And he says, no, don't tell her. It'll scare her. I said, okay, I won't say anything. So she comes walking back into the dining room, and she has her hair in a ponytail, and she's walking. It's like swishing back and forth. And she sits down, and she goes, does he watch me in the shower? I went, oh, no. Why did you ask me that?
Don't ask me that one, because he does.
I said, no, he likes the hot tub better, actually.
Oh, my God.
So they leave, and everything's hunky-dory. So she says to me, I'll see you at the studio tomorrow. She says, because I haven't met all the writers yet either. I'm going to come in and meet them while you're there. And I says, great. Mm-hmm. So we go to the studio the next day, and James and I are with the writers, and and she comes in. She had to be there for a fitting. And she comes in, and the one head writer that was there at the time said to her, which actually he asked me as soon as I walked in, he says, well, I hear you ghost busted, or you busted some ghosts at over at Love's house. He says, tell us about it. And I said, no, if she wants you to know, she'll tell you. I says, I don't. Which is what I don't do that. You know, I just,
yeah,
it's their story, not mine. And so she came in, and so he said the same to her. He said, so you're all ghost busted now, huh? She goes, yeah. And he says, well, Marianne refused to tell us, so what happened? Oh. So she explained it all to them, and they're sort of, there's 14 writers to believe this. The rest don't, are non-believers.
Yeah.
Oh. And so I said, so then she stands up, and she stands behind me, and she put her hands on my shoulders, and she said, and Marianne, you don't know this. She says, but after you left, she says, I called some of my girlfriends back home where the high school is, and one of the girls knew this kid that had gotten killed. When they took his, when they went to clean out his apartment after, you know, the funeral, the walls were lined with Jennifer Love Hewitt pictures.
Wow.
So he was a true stalker. I went, ay, ay, ay.
A stalker in life and a stalker in death. So did you get him to go into the light?
I did. Oh, I did. There's some things with age.
I'm telling who he's talking now.
Right. Well, you know, he's got some atoning to do now. Let's face it.
There you go. He's busy. He's got a job to do now.
Yeah, he's learning what and he should or shouldn't be doing. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
So life is interesting. Life is good. It's just very interesting right now for me.
Well, what is your next goal? I mean, what have you got in store now? I mean, not many people are part of a hit TV show and have a book that's a bestseller, Marianne. What really is your next goal or your next?
Well, right now I am working up working on a follow-up to this book. My editor's interested in the second book, which is nice.
Oh.
Plus, I just sold a two-book series to Crown.
Hey.
Fiction. I'm doing a fiction series called the Illumination Series. The first one will be out in the spring.
Illumination Series.
Right. And it's about a young girl that sees ghosts, and she's not in the police. She's not a police person, but she helps police solve crimes. So, you know, I wanted to get a little bit crazy with a ghost, but not crazy like the show.
This
is sort of fun to do. It's sort of fun to do.
I have another question.
Sure.
Do you have any sense that perhaps some people don't go into this light because they're afraid of judgment and they're afraid of hell and things like that? I mean, is it possible that part of faith could cause people to be afraid?
Especially if you're Catholic. Because
Well,
no, listen, up until 10 years ago, if you committed suicide, that was an automatic mortal sin.
Yeah.
You died, you went right to hell, you couldn't even be buried in a Catholic cemetery.
I wonder what they think about Samson, because God helped Samson commit suicide.
Well, yeah, but I think they finally, thank God they threw that out too, you know?
Yeah.
So they're coming around slowly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the funerals that are really unique to go to, people that are atheists. Because there they are standing at the foot of their casket, and in their belief system, they shouldn't be there, you know, because there is nothing except a pile of ash, and there they are.
And there they are.
Right, so they are afraid. People that were not nice in life, people that were bad people, people that did do bad things, yes, they are afraid to cross into it.
Yeah. But everybody does bad things. I mean, that's...
That's right, and you know what, and all I can tell them is God's all forgiving.
Yeah.
You know, suck it up and go in.
Suck it up.
You know?
One of the problems that I have personally with religion is I studied the Bible from beginning to end, and for thousands of years God didn't tell Adam and Eve, you know, if you sin, you're going to hell. He said, if you're going to die.
Right.
Cain was the first murderer. He didn't say, you're going to hell. Noah, he didn't say these people are going to hell. Abraham was a friend of God. He didn't say anything about hell. So you have in the Bible for thousands of years, God never even mentions hell. And then one day it just pops up. But there's no verse in the Bible where God ever announced to a prophet or to anybody, I had to create hell for this particular reason. It seems that religion made it up many thousands of years later.
I think they needed something to control people because, you know, our Bible that we have today doesn't look like a Bible if we read one from the 13th or the 12th century.
Yeah.
They're totally changed.
Yeah.
They changed the Bible for the times and what people are going to understand. And so
Greeks invented hell, and their philosophers said, no wise person believes in hell. We created it to control, you know, the common
people
so they would act better. It may be very, very effective on earth, but when you die, it could be, you know, it could cause people to be afraid to go and see what lies beyond because they've been told, you're going to go to hell for all eternity. As bad as this earth might be,
Absolutely.
So maybe when you talk to some of these ghosts, you might ask them, what was the reason you didn't cross over? And if there's
I always ask them that question.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Well, good.
Oh no, I always ask. I, you know, what I, you know, what the homeowner doesn't think of, I do.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, Marianne, if people want to get in touch with you, to come into their homes, now do they actually they pay for your travel and your time to bring you to their homes?
Yeah, but what I do, though, I try to wait until there are a number of people from the same general area.
Oh, okay.
So that it's not quite as expensive.
There you go.
Because it's who can afford travel anymore? So
that's
nice. But I try to do that. And but again, if they go to my website, MarianneWinkowski.com, there's all kinds of good information on there to help and to get hold of me if that's the case. You know, they can get a hold of me that way also. But that's really the best way, to go to the website. And
also, if they have several people in one community that might like to bring you in,
right,
and then they can go in together, and they're not just like alone with the cost of the thing. And you know, really and truly, I think it's very important for us to follow our intuition. If we feel that there's something in our house that really needs to get out, or go on, nothing, you know, then we need to know that we can call somebody like you and get you in here And you're going to take care of it because peace of mind, after all, that's everything.
Well, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
There's a saying, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
There you
and
go.
What I would recommend, Marianne, is that people like yourself consider, why don't we counsel people before their loved ones die that go into the light. We believe that God is love. We believe that, you know, the angels and your family will love you as you are, and if there's anything that you need to work out in your life, you can work it out and keep people from hanging around and haunting, you know, people here on Earth. Maybe if people were not, you know, as afraid of crossing over, they will do it.
And when I do my lectures, that is part of it, that there's no reason to stay. You could do more for somebody once you've crossed over than you can than by staying.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them are they're good intentioned. I'm going to stick around and help my wife raise the kids.
Yeah.
Right.
And it turns out that if he's in the house, the kids are sick all the time, and there's all these problems. So, you know, so it turns out that he made a wrong choice. And this is plus the fact when you know you can come back and forth and seriously help them that way.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, and I believe me, and I make a joke about it because it's like there's one of me. I can't run into all of you if you
no.
need to stay. You need to go. You just need to go, you know. And
take off.
Yeah, I have a lot of, because I do work for a lot of law enforcement agencies, and there's a one particular law enforcement woman that does, like, a CSI. She does the fingerprinting of everything on bodies and that.
Uh-huh.
And there she is with the body laying on a morgue slab, and she's doing fingerprints, and she's going, go to the light, go to the light, go to the light, go to the light.
But with the population, with the population of the Earth going up and up and up, you know, there's now, what, 6, 7, 8 billion people on Earth, or will be soon. You know, that's a lot of ghosts if everybody, you know, is afraid to cross over.
Well, you know, this is a way of life in Europe and stuff. And now that the book is in different languages in different countries.
Okay, it's all over the world.
It is like, oh, my goodness.
You know, you need to write the Dummy's Guide to Going into the Light.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It is, for every family.
Very good.
Oh, that's clever. Well, you know, when ghosts speak, I think that title alone, you know, I would want to know, when ghosts speak, what are they going to tell me? And because Marianne has been validated with a TV show, a hit TV show, Ghost Whisperer, being made, you know, about her life and James von Prague, I really feel like there is a lot of validation here that we need to listen to, and maybe just not question, but go with our intuition. When I tried to contact Marianne, I felt like I was really guided. I had heard about you, Marianne, many, many times through many talk shows. You're quite famous, quite well known. Really and truly, though, I was guided. And if I had any problem whatsoever where I lived, I would bring you right here. You know, I would feel like you have that sixth sense that I don't.
Well, the book has actually been a blessing because if any time if I go out on a book tour, I always stay a couple extra days and try to do people in that area because at least the publisher brought me in.
You know? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I'm glad to hear it because you're very conscientious about how much people are paying and things like that. And that's that shows that you're you know, you're trying to help and you're trying to do it at a
charge like law enforcement agencies and any kind of religious groups and
you didn't even ask for a paid night.
You can't do that.
Amazing. You know, I really thought out of all the people, because you're really, you know, you're way up there, and I thought, well, she wants some kind of fee, and I would have totally understand, but you didn't, Marianne.
You can't do that to people, no.
So I think that, you know, that shows where she, you know, Marianne is very genuine, and this is her calling. I don't know that, you know, you could do anything else, but I could be wrong, but I think
Well, I actually groomed dogs for 17 years.
You did?
I had a diaper service. We were foster parents for 12 years, so I had a real life at one time.
A real life. Oh, Lord. So you love dogs.
Oh, I do. We show dogs. I love animals. Yeah, and if somebody calls me and they've got a ghost messing with their kids or their animals, yeah, I'm right there.
If I remember correctly, you were saying that even though you help these ghosts into the light, that your dog's ghost is still with you and won't go into the light.
He is. My Bashan will not go. I cannot get him to cross over, little booger. He just will not go.
He won't go. No,
he's going to wait for me.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's going to wait.
So the ghost whisperer can't get rid of.
No, not my own dog.
that's.
Oh, go ahead. Just tell my secret.
Well, are you on the set of, you know, as they film every day, Marianne?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't have to. I get a script every week, and I go out. You know, when they need me. And now that we have the fire, we're not even on the stage anymore. We have to rebuild that. We're on location now everywhere because we got hit really bad with the Universal Fire a couple weeks ago. They said the Universal town of, you know, where Melinda and Jim lived, that was Back to the Future set. That was that town. We just made it into Granville.
Oh,
and that said, we lost most of the town.
Oh my God!
Yeah, we got hit pretty bad with
pretty bad. Well, I saw that on your website. You have a big
Universal put that up. Yeah.
Well, oh, they put that at Universal. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's a good omen that, you know, you're doing this show on the Back to the Future set. Maybe in the future we will have a, you know, better understanding and perhaps less fear of
right,
you know, what happens at death, because death is, you know, something that plagues people.
Oh, I know.
You know, and the doubt, and are my loved ones okay, and will I see them again, and things like that. So.
Well, and unfortunately, because of that question, that's why people have to be so very careful where they go to get those answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is such, it's so easy to hurt people that way.
Yeah.
Come up with, well, when you say you work with the police, do they contact you to find missing persons, Marianne?
Well, not so much missing persons as murders and that stuff.
Heavy, heavy.
Yeah.
How do you deal with, do you put like a protective line over your, or are you kind of detached?
No, I do. I always, you know, say my prayer and put my white light around me. And you know, what I'm looking at, nobody else is looking at.
That's right.
You know, so I've learned to, I've just learned. Plus, the good thing is the police thought that they'd have to call me right to the scene or before they move anything. And it's like, you know, I don't really need to be here to see all this.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be at the funeral. As long as I'm at the funeral, he's going to be there. I'll get your information there. Don't really have to go to the... Now, if it's a cold case, that's different. Then I have to go looking for them.
My gosh.
I don't know how to call a ghost, so I can't do that. But there's I've got a list that if they've been dead for 4 or 5 years, they're going to be in one of maybe 5 or 6 places if they haven't crossed over. And so it's, and that's the investigation part. You know, that is my job. I'm an investigator. And so, you know, the only difference is I don't run around with equipment and have to be on stuff, right?
Yeah, you don't have the backpack with all the...
No.
Yours is in the...
I met Jason from the Ghost Hunters on the Larry King show, and he was sitting right next to me on the panel.
Uh-huh.
And after the first break, he looked at me. He goes, "What am I doing here?" I says, "I don't know," because James was on the panel and Lisa Williams was on the panel and Shirley MacLaine. And I says, "I don't know." I says, "But I sure feel sorry for you, Jason, having to lug all that junk around with you every place you go."
This was on the Larry King show.
Yeah.
God. Oh, wow. You know, being ahead of your time cannot be that easy. I mean, even though you're on a hit show and you've got a best-selling book, it's still you're ahead of your time. So people aren't quite knowing, you know.
I would have been happier if this had happened 20 years earlier. Yeah, I think I would have. But you know what? Everything happens when it's supposed to, how it's supposed to. You just go with the flow.
Yeah, that's right, Marianne.
You know, you get up every morning, you say your prayers, and you go on with your day. What are you going to do? See what happens when the phone rings next time.
That's it. Well, you know, I'm so proud and happy that you decided to do this show because there are so many people that are interested in not knowing who to call. They know they've got something going on in their house that's not supposed to be there. And are they, maybe they're supposed to be there. It's just time for them to move on. And now they can call you. They can find you through your website if you'd like to give that out one more time.
Sure, MarianneWinkowski.com, and it's WinkowSki.
You might want to spell your first name, too, because Marianne can be spelled a number of different ways.
Two words, no E, Marianne Winkowski, but for the website, it's all one big, long word.
Oh, okay. And you have your book available through Amazon.com, and could you give us that name one more time, Marianne,
yeah,
of your book?
When Ghosts Speak, and it's available in Amazon, at Amazon, and it's in all the bookstores.
All the bookstores.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't it sound good to say that?
It doesn't?
No?
No, I said it does.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Yeah, because my first three books were self-published, and I know how publishers feel about that. But, you know.
We do self-publish books. I mean, we're a small press. In other words, we pay the fees, but, you know, we're pretty much like a person who publishes his own book. We're just helping the person.
Oh,
you know,
good for you.
Yeah,
that makes,
yeah.
That's nice.
We
that's
help really people
nice.
That can't go out and get a major publisher, you know.
Yeah, you're right, I know.
He knows. He did three before this.
Yeah, three. They're out of print now.
They're out of print.
Yeah, all the libraries have them.
All the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marianne, I hope everyone out there that wants to contact you will check your website, and they'll be able to get in touch with you and watch Ghost Whisperer. And I really thank you for being on our show tonight. And, Mike, I thank you so much. This is Mike Birch. Mike, what really is the name of your publishing company? I know your website, but is there another name?
Well, I published with Joe Regier, who's a Maltese poet who now lives in Canada. And he has a publishing company called Multicultural Books, or M Books.
Okay.
So we publish under the Multicultural Books imprint, and then the hypertext with an S.com is our literary website.
Okay. So that's hypertexts,
right?
.com.
Right. It's the hypertext with an S.com.
Great.
Right.
Well, I appreciate so much. And Marianne, thank you. And anytime you want to be part of this show, just give me a call, and I will be more than happy to bring you on anytime at your convenience.
Oh, thanks so much. This was a nice evening.
I really enjoyed
Friday
it.
Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Yeah. And I still think the Dummy's Guide to Going into the Light is...
I'm just really like that title, to be honest with you.
or the Complete Idiot's Guide to Going into the Light.
I don't know. I'm the idiot that needs guides, so I'll be the first one to buy the book.
Oh,
I guarantee you, Mike.
Yeah, but really, maybe families ought to sit down together and make we make wills and everything and say we all will go into the light, and then we'll be reunited in heaven, and we won't have to...
worry about it.
Yeah.
Right.
These other things. So.
Are you guys?
Well, thanks for the suggestions, and you guys have a really good and happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
How did you know
Thank
I was a father?
Oh, well, you know,
just
sometimes you know.
An educated guest.
Right.
The ghost didn't tell you.
No, can't talk to him over the phone. So.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
amazing. Not one thing went wrong. Fuck it, man. When they're down. Thank God. Thank you.
Hello? If you could call me, my number is 415-701-1247. I just said my show would go to Marianne Winkowski, who the show is.